Did you know that we have a fortress of hope? You know, I was thinking about the fortress. You know, there are people that are in physical war and battle and all that kind of stuff. When I was thinking about the Israelites, when they escaped the Romans and went down to Masada, and they went up on top of Masada and they built a fortress up there where the Romans couldn't get up the hill. They couldn't, if they ever got to the top, they were able to keep themselves safe there. So God, through Jesus Christ, is our fortress of hope. Scripture that I want to share with you this morning is in Mark 8. It's interesting, some of the things that we know about Jesus and some of the things he told the disciples and some of the things we say, wow, that's a hard saying. But they're so important that they minister to us when we look back on what Jesus has done. And we really anticipate his second coming. He did say, when I go to be with the Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside. But it's more important to understand not only the Holy Spirit, but to understand what Jesus dealt with when he was here on this earth, everything that we deal with, right up to and including death. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, now I got in the bulletin there, 31 through 38, but I'm going to back up to verse 27. Because this was when Peter finally realized who Jesus was. New Living Translation says this: Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the village of Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say that you are one of the prophets." And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, right away, he replied first, he said, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And you wonder about that. Why wouldn't he want everyone to know? Well, he goes on in verse 31 to predict his death. Then Jesus began to tell him that he is the Son of Man who would suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, and 3 days later he would rise again. As he talked about this openly with the disciples, Peter again took him aside and told him, say, "Hey, don't say things like that." Jesus turned and looked at the disciples and said to them, Peter, very sternly, said, "Peter, get away from me, Satan. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." And then he called the disciples and the crowd to come over and listen. He said, "If any of you want to be my followers, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. If you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. How many do you benefit from what you gain, the whole world, but lose your own soul in the process? Is there anything worth more than your soul?" That's a hard question. Think about it. Because we do have a soul. We do have a spirit. We have a spirit within us. Yeah, we have these open fleshly bodies. But we have a relationship with the living God through our soul. And we certainly don't want to lose our soul. "If a person is ashamed of me and my message in the adulterous and sinful days, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in the glory of my Father with holy angels." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word.